Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Good evening, welcome in. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We are Boston Sports Original, and we're here with you until about 9:15 tonight. Then we'll hand things over to Red Sox pregame show with me. Not going anywhere. I'll be here all night, basically, until the game starts, that is, and then I'm going home. But in the meantime, we got a lot to talk about here, a lot of football to talk about, a lot of discussions, narratives, drips and drabs of topic that I wasn't necessarily planning on coming in to talk about tonight. But based off of things that were said by hosts and guests alike on these airwaves over the course of the entire day, starting this morning with my guy Wiggy right there, which you just heard, I don't know how you can avoid this. And we're not going to spend all 3 hours on it, although we will talk to Doug Kite about it at 7:30. Looking very much forward to talking with him, my guy from the Boston Herald right there. This is also one of the last full shows, and it's not even a full show, but it's one of the last, like, multi-hour shows I'm going to have, like, maybe for the rest of the month with Red Sox games, Monday night football, Thursday night football, etc. There's not going to be a whole lot of time for this, so I got to get it all out there today. And that's the way it's going to be. We'll keep the phone lines open for you. You can call early and often at 617-779-7937, and I will try and get to as many of you as I possibly can before we get to the Red Sox. First of all, what Wiggy was talking about right there was a topic that was brought up a lot, I'd say, over the course of the offseason when the coaching staff was being filled out, when Josh McDaniels was the guy, and there was a lot of rumors and rumblings about it before it actually happened. I remember, did he pick up Vrabel from the airport, or was it the other way around? I can't remember exactly how that went, but McDaniels had been around. You know, he's been around. He was in the area. And when he got hired, there was talk of Robert Kraft and his process. And I want to talk a lot about that today. I want to talk about the hiring process that the Krafts keep going back to, the well they keep going back to, and why they do it this way, and why they feel like it's the way to run their business. Now, I'm not going to pretend like I have any sort of business acumen. Obviously, I don't. If I did, what the hell would I be doing sitting here? Okay? I think you could probably tell from listening to my show for about 6 seconds that I don't have very much business acumen, but that's neither here nor there. All I can say is that watching the way Bill let things get out of hand and was fired, watching the way Gerard Mayo was handed the keys, watching how he got fired, and then watching the next hiring process, which not only brought in another ex-linebacker as a head coach, albeit one with much more experience than Gerard Mayo, certainly, but also bringing back another familiar face at offensive coordinator. Not just a familiar face, a familiar name, a familiar system, a familiar everything. The prodigal son, if you will, Josh McDaniels, who many times has left the nest but always flew back. He's kind of one of those type of stories. And there have been other examples of guys that were kind of like that, but no one that was as prolific, I would say, as McDaniels, both in his success with the Patriots and in his failures outside of New England. And when you hear not only Mike Vrabel needling McDaniels in the offense a little bit, questioning why they didn't run the ball more, questioning why they couldn't establish the run against the Raiders front that isn't exactly, you know, it's not like it's the 2000 Ravens here. You're not talking about Ray Lewis and, you know, I guess Haloti Ngata was later than that, but you know what I mean. Like, we're not talking about that group. We're talking about a Raiders team that has no secondary and one good pass rusher and Adam Butler, and that's basically it. That was supposed to be the calling card of this team. Offensively, anyway, yeah, maybe the passing game is still a work in progress, but we got some guys on the offensive line. They can run block. You saw that in the preseason. You saw that in the joint practices. It looked like the run was going to be, at least early on, as May and the receivers and the tight ends and everybody adjusted and got used to the Josh McDaniels offense. At the very least, you'd be able to lean on the run a bit and let the rest of that sort of work itself out. Well, it was the opposite of that. And to hear it from Mike Vrabel, you would think that maybe they're not 100% on the same page. Hearing Wiggy talk about it this morning kind of got me thinking about it. And then as the day, the broadcast day continued here at WEEI, there was all sorts of different opinions from the hosts and their guests, including Tommy Kern, including Mark Schlereth, including Jones and Keefe, and the guys here at WEEI Afternoons, who are all just leaving right now. But it was now suddenly this topic. And I honestly wasn't planning on discussing. When I was going over things this morning, I heard what Wiggy said, but I wasn't going to be like, ah, yeah, well, maybe this is a big prime topic here. Over the course of the day, I refuse to believe that Tommy Kern and Schlereth and even Wiggy and all these people are going to be out talking about that sort of thing without any inkling that there may be exactly what Wiggy was describing right there. Just an air of, hey, I'm the new head coach, and you're bringing me in here, and you need me to come straighten this whole thing out, and my offensive coordinator is going to be, what, Josh McDaniel? Why Josh McDaniels? I don't know Josh McDaniels. You know, I don't know him as a guy. I guess he played for him, but on the defensive side. And we all know that, you know, the separation of church and state back in the Belichick days with the defense and the offense was pretty pronounced. So, you know, I mean, he knows him, obviously. It's not like he doesn't know him. He coached against them. But this isn't exactly – there was never a point where it seemed like, okay – Vrabel has this pick of whoever he wants, anybody that's available out there, he can go out and get, and he's picking Josh McDaniels. And I don't mean this to pick on Josh McDaniels when I say all these things, because I think Josh McDaniels is certainly an accomplished offensive coordinator who has done a lot in this league and has been tremendous success with Tom Brady, as well as with Mac Jones that first year, the only good year that he ever had. And I'll even go so far as to say I thought that year with Cam Newton, McDaniels put an offense together that was probably better than it should have been with washed up Cam Newton out there duffing balls into the dirt every third down. So, you know, like there's a precedence here. There is a precedence. That precedence all was under Bill Belichick. It was all under the wing of Bill Belichick and not under, you know, someone like Mike Vrabel, who stepping into this role with people hoping and praying that he's going to have the kind of effect that Bill Belichick had, at least early on, in getting things restructured and reorganized and redone. And instead, it seems like the talk now is all about his relationship with the quarterback and his relationship with the offensive coordinator. Tom E. Curran today was on with Jones and Keefe, and he talked about this very thing as well. He was asked about it, and I thought his answer was very interesting. Here's Tom E.
As to how McDaniels and Vrabel are doing, I don't have any intel that it's not great, but I look at Vrabel specifically scrutinizing.
Just stop it for a second there, Thomas. If you didn't see, if, not watching it obviously right now, but if you were watching on Twitch, which I do all day long, it's all the only thing that's on in my house. Jones and Keefe are basically co-parenting my son at this point. that's what it's like. I put him in front of the TVs. There, Jones and Keefe are talking to him. You know, Courtney and Wiggy and Greg here. They're all helping me raise my son. It's the sad truth of all this. But either way, you heard a pretty pregnant pause right there, didn't you, from Curran? The question was about the relationship. And he goes, well, and then there was a long pause. And Jones shot up in his seat. He was just like, oh, you know, like Jones tends to do.
He looked directly into the camera at that second, yeah. Jones on the clip. It's hysterical.
He's like Jim in The Office. He was like, yeah, you know, like one of those. And, you know, I noticed it too. That was one of those pauses from Curran that to me implied I got something I could say here, but I got to word it carefully. And then he does word it carefully. He says, I don't have any intel that says that it's bad. But, and then he continues, but just re-rack that for a second time and listen to this again, and then listen to the rest of the answer and tell me if maybe you think there's something else here.
As to how McDaniels and Vrabel are doing, I don't have any intel that it's not great, but I look at Vrabel specifically scrutinizing and theorizing about we got to run the ball more. We got to be stubborn when we get to the line sometimes and not look for perfect. And we might have to take more off of Drake's plate. Those are all salvos at the offensive decisions being made. Josh is a prideful guy. He's got a lot of accomplishments. Is he comfortable with being singled out or questioned publicly after the first game? So maybe Vrabel doesn't see it as such, and maybe McDaniel says that's what he's supposed to do. He's at the podium. He's being honest. And maybe not, but it's going to require people to put their egos in their pockets to get where you want to go.
Okay. I don't have any intel. I don't know. I can't tell you anything I've heard. But I can tell you that it didn't look good, didn't sound great. Josh is a proud guy, doesn't like it when people light him up after the first game of the year. In your first game of that, where do you go from there? Where do you go from there? And that's a question I think Mike Vrabel has to answer, Drake May has to answer, Josh McDaniels have to answer. There's an opportunity for this season to go completely sideways from the jump. You go left. You come out of the starting gates and you go left. You're not going, you know, around the track. You just go right into the middle there. And what do they call that in the middle of the racetrack? It's called something. I forget what it's called. I remember I went up to Loudon one time and we were all not the dugout. What the hell is it called? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But the point is, you go left. Things don't start off right. You have an opportunity. You have at least three, maybe a month to right the ship. And if by week five you're still underwater, then that's when seasons start ending. That's when the priorities start shifting from winning to making business decisions, to making sure that you're not hurt for next year, to making sure that your stats aren't getting screwed up. So maybe instead of, you know, throwing into coverage, you just run around for a while and then take a bad sack or something. You know what I mean? Like that's, and I'm not saying Drake May is going to do that, but that's the way priorities can tend to shift when your team falls apart. And I'm not saying they're on the verge of that right now. However, you would expect maybe in the first week to have a bit more of a unified message. You'd expect maybe in the first week for the offensive coordinator, who actually has had some success here in that role before, unlike Mike Vrabel as a head coach. Mike Vrabel's never been a head coach in New England. He was a head coach in Tennessee and had some success, kind of, early on, and then that thing slowly came undone, and he had some problems with his offensive coordinators out there, as a matter of fact, too, by the way. So just something to keep an eye on, and we will hear more from the people who spoke today, like Mark Schlereth and some others, but I do think that this does go back to Robert Kraft and his process, because with both Josh McDaniels and with Mike Vrabel, you saw exactly how Kraft likes to do things. He likes to bring in people he knows. He likes to bring in people he's comfortable with. He likes to bring in people he's sort of feel like he's vetted and that he has an understanding of what kind of people they are and what kind of leader they're going to be and whatever else it is that is important to Robert Kraft. All of those things, I think, are tied in to having a personal previous relationship with him. And in this case, maybe the relationship's very much different from how it is now. When Mike Vrabel was a player here, he was how many degrees away from Robert Kraft? Now as the head coach, you're only, you know, one or two degrees away, and that's a much, much different dynamic. So we'll see. We'll see how this all goes, and we'll see how this process plays out. But it's so far not off to a great start. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will get to your phone calls here in just a moment. Also, we will have your headlines at 6:30, some news from the Red Sox here. Also, some NFL stuff to get to as well, including some news items from the Patriots' upcoming opponent, the Miami Dolphins. That's all coming up right after Thomas.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You caught up on what's trending. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to our 6:30 headlines here in just a moment. But first, when I see this name on the call line, then I have to go to it right away. Of course, we're talking about the great JP and MP. JP in North Providence. Hello, sir. JP? Oh, wow. I give him this big intro, and he's not even ready to go. JP, we're going to put you on hold. Thomas will talk to you, and we'll talk to you after headlines, if you're ready, okay? Just made me look pretty stupid. Anyway, here's 6:30 headlines.
This is 6:30 headlines.
Okay, so the big headline of the day for the Red Sox, and we are going to spend most of the night talking about follow-up thoughts with the Patriots. I will have some Red Sox thoughts for you as well. I thought that was a great win last night. Very, very good win over a A's team that I don't take lightly. I think that's a tough A's team with some really, really scary hitters all up and down that lineup. However, the back end of the Red Sox rotation has become this thing now. It's like a thing. What's going on here with the 4 and 5 slot in this rotation? Peyton Tolley is there. The other slot, we don't know. It was Brennan Bernardino. It was Dustin May. It was supposed to be May starting again today. May to the IL. And Connelly Early is being called up as his replacement. Ken Rosenthal had the report. It was May scheduled to start tonight's game after spending a stint in the bullpen that was not particularly inspiring. But you don't have a lot of other options. I mean, that's really, you parted ways with Walker Buehler. You refused to call up Kyle Harrison, although it sounds like he may be available tomorrow. It does seem like he is the like break glass in case of emergency with Kyle Harrison. He is the last line of defense for this rotation, this pitching staff, which I'm confused by. But maybe it'll make more sense once we actually see him pitch. Either way, Early's going to make his major league debut tonight. Another Red Sox player making his major league debut this season. And usually when you have that, especially in September, and I know obviously the rules are much different, used to expand the rosters and call up like 15 kids and just, you know, throw them in there wherever. The rotation was always fine and you could just, you know, plug and play these guys wherever you needed to. Now you only call up two guys. But even still, you're not calling up end of the bench type of kids who are going to be utility players or, you know, long relievers, mop-up men in the bullpen, that type of thing. You're calling up and then playing your leadoff hitter, your starting infielder, wherever Meyer was going to be playing. I know that he didn't get full-time reps here like Anthony did, but he certainly that was the plan, and he was an important part of the offense for the brief period before he got hurt. Anthony was the only part of the offense for about a month there before he went down with his injury. And, of course, Christian Campbell started the year as your second baseman. Not only that, Peyton Tolley is now part of your rotation after getting called up and making his debut. He had one great start and one not great start. And now here comes Connelly Early. Just another one of these kids making their debut on the big stage here in September during a pennant race where you're currently a playoff team and still contending for the American League East. Let me put it this way. If this was any other team and we were watching them and we were saying, wow, they're going to go with these kids, these 22, 23-year-old kids making their major league debuts, that's how they're going to backfill their rotation. That's how they're going to go down the stretch here and potentially into the postseason. They're going to cut ties with Walker Buehler in May. I mean, we'll see what this injury is. I don't think it's a Jordan Hicks fake injury where you just need to do it so you can get him out of there. You know, Dustin May, he's not been great, but I have no idea what this kid Early's going to look like. Anyway, Early's been awesome in the minors. He's been very, very good. 23 games between AA and AAA this season. He has a 260 ERA over 100.1 innings. And he strikes out 32% of his opponents. One in every three guys he faces, he strikes out. I don't know exactly what to expect tonight. I think that watching Crochet cruise through those that A's lineup may fill me with a false sense of bravado of what this kid can go out there and do. And especially with an A's team that has some good Brent Rooker and Kurtz and Langoliers and, you know, all these guys. They got a bunch of guys on that team that are going to finish the year with like 30 home runs, at least. It's like four or five guys in that lineup who you can say that about. And I worry that throwing that kid out there tonight, after they just saw Crochet yesterday and could not touch him, could end up leading to some runs being scored. On the other hand, Red Sox should be scoring some runs tonight, too. Anyway, that's what's going on with them. Let's get to our next headline. Back to the NFL we go. Patriots adjacent, and it's only adjacent because this guy just got released. But Jabril Peppers, a free agent no longer. He has signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers, or he's expected to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if it's officially been made official yet, to quote our good friend Ian Rappaport. However, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that he was snatched up relatively quickly. This was reported on about, I don't know, 5-6 hours ago. And the team is planning to sign Peppers. He is being signed in part because Deshaun Elliott had a knee injury against the Jets, and he's not going to be there for the home opener against Seattle. Tomlin said of Peppers, he's a football player first, positional player second. The hell does that mean? He's a football player first, a positional player second. It's not like he plays a bunch of different positions, you know? It's not like he's Travis Hunter, and you're like, well, at first he's a football. Before I'm going to call him a wide receiver or a cornerback, he's a football player. It's like, Jabril Peppers is just a safety. So, like, what are you talking about positional players? Like, that's a little bit weird. But he goes on to say that he's displayed position flexibility over the course of his career as a safety position and a rundown nickel. Yeah. He's been a capable guy on special teams over the course of his career, covering kicks and returning punts. He's just a good, well-rounded football player, and so I'm glad to add and have him in the fold. Now, if you watch that game, the Steelers' linebacker play was not very good. So if this is maybe a transitional thing for Peppers, where they're going to turn him from a safety into a run-stuffing linebacker or something like that, he could just be a strong safety, I suppose, which is what he's mostly been his career here. But it seems like they're going to try and use him in a bunch of different ways. And if they do and they're successful, that is going to come back around on Mike Vrabel. You watch. And it should. If this is a guy who you can use in your secondary to cover up some different things, and they're able to do that, and maybe not even in the secondary. Maybe they move him up and make him a linebacker, put him in linebacker packages and sets like they did last year with the hell's the kid's name, the special teams guy, Brandon Schooler. They had him out there in that Longhorn formation. Like, you know, it's possible. And maybe that's not the scheme that Vrabel wants to run. And if it is, that's what he said. You know, this guy's not a scheme fit, and that's why we're moving on a week after roster cutdown day. But again, neither here nor there. He's out. And he will be suiting up with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we'll see what that means for that team and their secondary. Our next headline is very similar. And that is the Miami Dolphins, who have gotten in on the Patriots sweepstakes here as they bring in Cole Strange. Cole Strange, who was released by the Patriots last month. They drafted him with the 29th overall pick in 2022. He started 30 career games, mostly at left guard. He has been signed by the Dolphins, not from the Patriots. Patriots already released him. He got signed to Cleveland's practice squad, and the Dolphins have signed him off of said practice squad. They put starting right guard James Daniels on injured reserve. He suffered a torn pec in that opener. Said that he's going to miss many, many weeks, Mike McDaniel said, and that his placement on the injured list means he won't be able to come back until week 6. Don't know if Strange is going to play against the Patriots this weekend. However, I wouldn't be surprised if he's out there, and I would be surprised if he makes a big difference, because I don't think he's very good, and I think this is a desperation move by a desperate team in the Dolphins and a guy in McDaniel who may not last this season, because that was such an ugly loss to start the year against Danny Dimes and the Colts. On the other hand, I do think there's a chance that that team, that Colts team, could be okay. I mean, look at the division they're in. It's not a good division. Danny Dimes, I don't think, is particularly a good player. But in the right opportunity, in the right place, you know, there's some guys who can catch passes on that Colts team. They have a decent defense. They may be something this year. Either way, they absolutely put it to the Miami Dolphins. And that brings us to our last headline, which also has to do with the Dolphins. And that is Tyreek Hill, who has been accused of domestic violence by his estranged wife. This is according to documents obtained by TMZ. Keita Vaccaro alleges that 8 separate incidents of domestic violence and filings related to the couple's divorce. Hill's attorney said that the allegations are part of a shakedown and that they are an attempt to generate bad media coverage for Hill. Okay. According to TMZ, Vaccaro alleges that the first incident occurred in 2024, 2 months after they got married. Hill has not been criminally charged, and it was unclear whether law enforcement is even investigating these allegations. Vaccaro filed a petition for a divorce in April, one day after the police reported a domestic dispute between her and Hill. So there's that. Tyreek Hill is someone who gets accused of this quite often. He denies it all the time, but this is something that comes up with him a lot. There was also that thing where he assaulted that guy in the marina. You remember that? There's some, I don't know if he was renting a boat or something, but there was some employee who, I forget exactly the genesis of all that, but he slapped the guy and there was that whole thing. Multiple problems with women. Just an all-around bad guy. I mean, really, just a full-on bad guy. There's no real other way to say it. And even if these accusations aren't true, he's already cemented himself as one of the guys in the league whose talent supersedes everything else. And in a lot of ways, really kind of exposes what the NFL is really all about. You know, there's no moral high ground here, and there never really has been. And I do wonder if this is going to affect the game. You know, I mean, Tyreek Hill is a great player. He didn't do much in that first game. But if he's not in there, then I feel a lot better about the Patriots' chances. Then again, I mean, they're going down to Miami, and even before Tyreek Hill got there, even when Tom Brady was the quarterback and the Dolphins had Cleo freaking Lemon over there, he always had tough games early on in the season when it was still really hot down in Miami. In September or October, it's still real hot down there. And you go down there and get your ass kicked by a Dolphins team that's just used to the heat. And that was back when the Patriots were good. So, yeah, not feeling great about that. It would be a tough, tough loss here to see this team fall to a Dolphins team that just got humiliated by the Colts like that. But it's the NFL. Any given Sunday, I guess we'll see. All right, there's your 6:30 headlines. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment. I want to talk about what Karen Garigian wrote on Mass Live and how Mike Vrabel is going to figure out what Drake May does best. That's all coming up next. Mike Vrabel answering questions about Drake May, if he had too much on his plate, so forth. I have some thoughts on that. I have some thoughts on what I saw from Drake May in week one and whether that's indicative of a guy who had too much on his plate or a guy who was just missing throws and missing open receivers and actually having some time to throw.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I know that the line wasn't great, and there's certainly not a bunch of guys in that line that you feel really good about. But in terms of the actual numbers and the actual time he had to go and who he threw to and who he hit and who he missed, there's thoughts on that that I think need to be expressed here about Drake May. But before we get to that, that quote you just heard was used in the latest piece by Karen Garrigan on Mass Live, which says, already it's evaluation time for Drake May. And she opens it by saying, one game into his second season, Drake May has already hit a crossroads. Patriots quarterback looked unsettled and unsure of what he was doing during the Patriots' loss to the Raiders on Sunday. He sailed passes, failed to connect with open receivers, forced passes, one to Steph Diggs that was picked at a pivotal point in the game. Even as a runner, he didn't seem right. There was nothing natural about him or his performance. I agree with Karen 100%. I thought it was very uneven. I thought he looked very unsure of himself, even on the throws that he did make. You know, it wasn't ever like you felt like, okay, this is starting to come together. A lot's riding on May, Karen writes, making a year two leap and progressing into the type of quarterback to help bring the Patriots back to prominence. Only he looked far from making that jump on Sunday. Is there too much on his plate? There it is again. Too much swirling around in his head to be effective. Mike Vrabel answered the question, which you just heard right there. And Kara says, it's not exactly comforting to hear the head coach admit to assessing if adjustments were needed to help May after just one game. But it is what it is. Already there are questions about whether May has the bandwidth to handle all of the responsibilities with a Josh McDaniels offense. There were signs of difficulty during the preseason, but nothing as dramatic as Sunday's outing. Ultimately, the Patriots need to figure out if they're doing more harm than good with all they've put on their young quarterback, or if it's something May simply needs to work through and will resolve in time. Seems fairly obvious that they have to help him settle down and take some of the weight off his shoulders if they deem the offense needs to be more Drake-friendly, tailoring it more toward his athletic skill set, then McDaniels needs to make the necessary fixes. He needs to shape the offense towards May's strength as opposed to molding May to the offense. And I think that's the crux of this right now. Josh McDaniels, when he got here, knew what he was walking into. It's not like they hired him and they didn't have a quarterback and then they were going to go into free agency and sign the guy that Josh wanted or draft the guy that Josh or whatever. Like, this was already set up. This car was already running and they handed McDaniels the keys to it, right? I mean, that's the way that this process played out. It's not always like this, certainly not with head coaches or even with offensive coordinators, but that's the way that this one played out. And there's already questions right now about, was Josh the first choice of Mike Vrabel? I think it's worth asking if Drake May had any input on any of this. And when I say that, I don't even necessarily mean the Josh McDaniels hiring, but did he have input on Van Pelt? Drake, do you want Alex to be your coordinator again this next year? If Drake May said, yeah, I really do. Don't you think that may have made a difference? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it wouldn't have. I couldn't tell you. I'm not in that room. But I do agree with Karen that this is evaluation time. And I also say that knowing that I came on the air yesterday and went on and on about how NFL teams are quick to make their decisions about their young quarterbacks, and sometimes it's too quick. Making a decision in year two with Drake May, you could say, is probably too quick to really do it. But you've already started the clock. That's the problem. You didn't give him time to really learn. You gave him a couple of weeks under Jacoby Brissett where everybody was clamoring for him to go out there because they needed him out there because the team was just going nowhere. And you thought, all right, well, maybe if you put the kid in, he'll be able to lead a couple of touchdown drives. Maybe he'll win a couple of games, and maybe you can salvage something out of this season. At the very least, you'll build up some excitement, and now here's our rookie, and, you know, like they said on the ESPN, everybody just wants to unwrap their new toy, basically, at Christmas. All these GMs and everybody are just a bunch of children. They get their new toy under the tree, and they just want to unwrap it and play with it immediately, even if it means the toy's not ready to be played with yet. And I know I'm extending this analogy, but that's the way it is. Maybe it's not right, maybe it's not fair, but you've already started the clock with Drake May. So you can't go back. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. Like, once it's out, it's out. And right now with Drake May, the clock's running. And, yeah, some evaluations are going to have to get made here sooner rather than later. And right now, that doesn't look like a great proposition for Drake May. It doesn't. He doesn't look good. The offense around him doesn't really look all that great. There's a whole bunch of things that need to be worked on here, and it shouldn't all fall directly on the shoulders of Drake May. However, he's the quarterback. And if he's not the person that they want to go forward with, if he's not their QB of the future, then they're going to have to go back to the drawing board and find out who it is that's going to be that, or what kind of quarterback situation they want to have after this. And I know I'm getting way ahead of myself here after just this one game, but if it's evaluation time, that evaluation could go one of two ways. Either he's the quarterback of the future or he isn't. And both of those things have to be planned for. 617-779-7937. Pat is in Shrewsbury. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Christian. Hey, first of all, I wanted to say quickly that, you know, you were one of the reasons that I switched my listening.
Oh, thanks, Pat. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I think you have a lot of great points. But so my two questions were, A, with the Jabril Peppers thing, I noticed Jalen Hawkins getting burned a ton in that game against the Raiders, and I feel like Peppers may not have had those same problems, like especially for that first touchdown. And then the second point is May looked like he was still really quick to run, but then had also had it drilled into him that they do not want him to get hit. So he, you know, he was going to the run too quick, but then he would just drop, and he wouldn't actually use his ability for any real gain.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of that. And I think that's sort of a mixture of styles that you're seeing there. Pat, if I had to guess, and thanks for the call. Thanks for those kind words, too. It was nice. But you remember the Josh McDaniels, Tom Brady offense, and what was it all about? It was about getting open quickly in, like, the first couple of steps, getting the ball out within, like, a half a second, and death by a thousand paper cuts until you take that big shot. That was a big part of how that all worked. That's why the slot receiver was so important. That's why Wes Welker and Julian Edelman and all these guys in the McDaniels offense were so successful. They were also great players. Now you have Pop Douglas and not Tom Brady throwing the ball to him. And when I say not Tom Brady, I mean, yeah, obviously no one's Tom Brady. But Drake May is not even the same type of quarterback as Tom Brady. Drake May is an athletic, running, mobile QB who can bootleg and, you know, has a big arm, throw on the run, like all that stuff. Which, again, are things that I thought Josh McDaniels coveted. Lamar Jackson, Tim Tebow, you know, like over the course of his career, he's gravitated towards those type of quarterbacks. For good reason, too. The NFL was shifting that way. If you're going to continue to be a coach in the league, eventually Tom Brady's going to retire. It took forever, but eventually he did. And you're going to have to learn how to play with, work, and coach with one of these new type style type of quarterbacks. And here one is in Drake May. And it seemed like they were trying to go back to that old Tom, get the ball out quick, get guys open fast. And the reason why I think that is because every time Drake May didn't have his first read, he panicked. Almost every single passing play, and you can go back and watch almost every single one of them. If he looked to his first read and that first read wasn't there, he didn't know what to do. And that's troubling because that to me signals that McDaniels is trying to get him to get the ball out quickly and do all that same, you know, sort of stuff that he's been putting together with his offenses in New England for however many years. And for a guy like, you know, Mac Jones, maybe that could work. But for Drake May, he's not ready for that. It doesn't seem like. And if they have that first read covered, then he's, you know, like he doesn't know what to do. He's not sure where to go. And that I thought was problematic. You hear Mike Vrabel talking about tailoring things and playing to strengths. And you hear Karen talking about that, too, tailoring an offense to Drake May as opposed to trying to tailor May to the offense. You know, if all the styles are clashing this way, then that's not good for Josh McDaniels. It's not great for Drake May either, because I think despite all of the complaints and problems and everything else, Drake May had plenty of opportunities to make some completions and make some plays out there, and he missed them. And he missed them not because it was too complicated, or not because the O-line didn't hold up, or not because his receivers were all dropping balls. He was airmailing throws. He airmailed them to just about everybody. And there was a couple. Pop Douglas had a couple alligator arm plays too, so it's not. It wasn't 100% all on Drake May, but he did miss a ton of throws in that game, and that wasn't Josh McDaniels' fault. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Patriots fans have their own thoughts about that game and how bad it was, or how maybe not as bad as everyone's saying it was. We'll get to what PFT had to say. We'll get to where they are in the power rankings, and we'll talk about some of these ex-Patriots who have been signing elsewhere. We'll do that with your phone calls again at 617-779-7937. It's the Christian Arcan Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.